In Parshas Tetzaveh, I'd like to revisit an idea that we spoke about last week, that we expounded upon on the Shabbos morning Parshas Shir, that Elisa was at, and now we're going to bring it full circle to something that we find in Parshios Teruma Tetzaveh. We mentioned last week in the Shir that there were two of the Kelim that were made different than all other Kelim. We said that the Kruvim and the menorah were made miksha zahav, right? They were beaten out of gold, meaning they weren't made piecemeal and put together, but rather you took a block of gold and you fashioned them from that block itself. And how we said that the kruvim representing where the Dvar Hashem came out from, and the menorah that represented Torah, right? We brought a few proofs about that, that those are the things that have to come from a whole piece to show us that inside ourselves, when we carve ourselves, when we're trying to sculpt ourselves, so really you're going to find the Dvar Hashem, you're going to define Torah. So Yisrael Reisman asks an interesting question that he answers vis-a-vis the menorah and Aaron. We're not going to spend a lot of time on that, but I'd like to bring it into this week's parsha because there's tremendous lessons in this week's parsha from a Klei Yakar and an idea from the Lubavitcher Rebbe and others. But we know that he says that every Kli had its individual purpose. So what does it mean that the Kruvim and the menorah both represent the Torah? I don't understand. Why do you need two vessels for the same thing, right? So Rabbi Reisman gave a brilliant answer. His answer was that there are two types of Torah. There's a Torah that's the Mesorah. That is God's word. That's what's known as Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai. That came from where? Mi-Bein Shnei HaKruvim. That came directly from the Kruvim. Those were the Luchos, Etzpa Elokim Hi. That was the Torah that Moshe wrote, dictated directly by God. That was all the Aron. And that's hidden away. We cannot touch that. Only one person saw it once a year, the Kohen Gadol Yom Kippurim. One of the great kings recognized that it was in danger, hid it away. You can't tinker with Mesorah. That's what it is. It's not to be touched. That's one aspect of Torah. There's another aspect of Torah represented by the menorah, which is the Chochmas HaTorah. When the Gemara tells us, Uvisaraso Yehageh Yomam V'loila, that the Torah becomes yours. The Torah actually becomes yours. How? Not the Torah of Halacha L'Moshe Mi-Sinai Mesorah. You know, that is set in stone, literally and figuratively. But there's the different aspect of the Torah, which is a Torah Chaim, which is a Torah that's developing, which is a Torah that has human initiative. And that's why Rabbi Reisman Shlita Rashiva Torah Vadas explains that there are two different Kalim referring to different aspects of Torah. So the question comes up in this week's Parsha. Why does the question come up in this week's Parsha? Because in this week's Parsha, we read at the very end of everything, which we'll deal with next. That'll be the second issue that we deal with. But and we've had an answer before, and I'd like to examine a new answer this evening. But we know that the Mizbeach HaKtoras, the Mizbeach HaZav, the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the golden Mizbeach, the inner Mizbeach, the Mizbeach that was in the Heichal, that was in the Kodesh, with the Shulchan, and with the menorah, is brought up here at the end of Parsha Tetzaveh. So the question is obvious. If we assume that every kli, every vessel in the Beis HaMikdash has an individualized purpose, what is the purpose of both of the Mizbechos? I don't understand. Atonement, atonement. What's the difference between the two of them, right? So the Kli Yakar has such a beautiful teretz. The Kli Yakar has such a beautiful teretz. I'm sorry I didn't photocopy the Kli Yakar. I have a Mina, but I figure it's late at night. I was thinking, should I photocopy the Medrash? You know what? I'm not going to photocopy. If anyone wants a Kli Yakar, I'll take a picture of it and I'll text it to you. Let me know if you want to see the Kli Yakar. But the Kli Yakar is on Perek Lamed Pasuk Aleph, and he says that when a person does an Aveira, it affects them on two levels. What are the two levels that affects them? It affects them in the neshama. Wait, does the art scroll quote this? No, it doesn't. Okay, it doesn't. Sometimes I'm saying, oh, Rabbi, it's in the art scroll. So the art scroll doesn't quote this Kli Yakar. It affects the body and it affects the soul. Every chait affects you on two different levels. And what the Kli Yakar explains is that you need atonement, you need kapara on two levels as well. On the level of physical, Gashmius, and the level of soul on Ruchnius. And he says, the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, the copper Mizbeach, the Mizbeach HaAdama, the Mizbeach of dirt, the Mizbeach HaChitzon, the outer Mizbeach, that atones for the sin of the body, how it affects your flesh and blood. And we know that nechoshes, whether it's the idea of nechoshes representing, you know, imitating the dirt, afar min hadama, adam, we were made from the dirt, but we know primarily what was offered up on the mizbeach hachitzon, the outer mizbeach, and the mizbeach nechoshes, that's where almost all the karbanos were brought. Right, the animal that was flesh and blood atones for that part of you, the nefesh bahamas, the flesh and blood of the human being. And he points out other things as well. For example, that the mizbeach and achoshes was 5 amos by 5 amos. How many amos tall was it? It was 3 amos tall. And he says that 3 amos is in fact the average height of a man. Right? And that's why that mizbeach is 3 amos. So you're thinking, wait, what's an amos? So anywhere between 1.5 to 2 feet. So everyone could feel good, right? So whether you're 5'4", whether you're 6 feet, whatever it is, you can feel good in terms of the average height of a man, right? Why? And that's actually related to Hilchos Mikvos. 3 amos, but whatever. Okay, we're not going to get into that, what the body of a person can fit into. But the idea is because that is the koma of an adam, the physical stature of human being, and that atones for the physical part of the chait. So where do you get atonement in the spiritual part? So that, the Kli Yakar says, is a mizbeach hazahav. That's the golden mizbeach, the mizbeach haktoras. Because what's the mizbeach haktoras? What's offered on the mizbeach haktoras? On the mizbeach haktoras is offered up the incense. And he says that what does the incense do? It offers up a reyach. The whole purpose of the mizbeach hazahav, the mizbeach haktoras, the altar of the incense, is the purpose of incense is to provide a smell. The reyach is related to the concept of ruach, which is a level of soul above the nefesh abahami, above the animalistic soul. And he says that's why the ketores has to be ground up, daka min adaka, extremely fine. Why? Because it's dealing with things that are not of this world. It's bringing atonement of things that are really beyond this world. So this is what the Kli Yakar explains, that really every vessel does have its specific purpose. No other vessel. So why are there 2 levels of atonement? Because we know that every sin affects us in 2 different ways. And we have to understand that there has to be atonement on both levels. On the level of Gashmias and the level of Ruchnias. On the level of the physical and the level of the spiritual. So that's one yesod from the Kli Yakar. The idea that we then have to be faced when we deal with this Kli Yakar is a famous question that we've learned many times before. And we'll give the famous answer that we've given that I always thought was the best pshat. Why, in fact, is the Mizbeach HaZahav so far away from everything else? Meaning when you look in Parshas Vayakel, right, you find the Aron, the Shulchan, the Menorah, and then the Mizbeach HaZahav. And then the Mishkan, then the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, and the courtyards. But when you look at Parshas Truma, it's glaringly absent. It works from the Aron walking outwards, and it's not there. You only find it over here at the end of Tetzaveh. So why do we find it over here at the end of the Tzavah? So if you remember, we mentioned the idea from Rav Yitzchak Tursky Shlit in the Sefer Amita Shel Torah, that really, according to the Ramban, the 2 accounts of Truma Tzavah versus Vayakal Pekudei, where the vessels in the Mishkan is actually built, is that this was in fact given before the sin of the golden calf, and Vayakal Pekudei is when it's brought into this world after the sin of the golden calf. What's the difference? What happened, meaning the Mizbeach HaKetores, when is there ever blood sprinkled on the Mizbeach HaKetores? You know what? The only time an animal blood is sprinkled on the Mizbeach HaKetores, Mizbeach HaZahav, when it's for a communal offering. When it's a communal offering. On Yom Kippur, also Par Helam Davar Shel Tzibur, when the Sanhedrin makes a mistake, or the Kohen Gadol makes a mistake, and he represents the soul of the whole people. So, according to Ramban, why is it, Rav Yitzchak Tversky explains so beautifully, so why is it put at the end after Parshas Tetzaveh? Because really, it's unnecessary. It's like an afterthought. The Jewish people are coming off of Mamad Har Sinai, Nasa V'Nishma, right? Hashem saying, who revealed them the secret of my angels? The Jewish people on the highest level. To think everyone's going to sin? The whole of the Jewish people is going to be worthy of eradication, of being wiped out? Can't be. This Mizbeach, we don't really need it. Let's put it at the end. But after Parshas Kisisa, after we see that the Jewish people, Rachman al-Tzlan, can fall so far, so therefore, when it comes to Vayakal Pekudei, after the chet of the egel, that's when it's put into this proper place. Because unfortunately, communal atonement is something that's part and parcel of the Jewish people's experience. It's something that's an absolute necessity. However, the Lubavitcher Rebbe has a very different take. The Lubavitcher Rebbe has a beautiful take. He says, what's the difference between the Mizbeach HaNechoshes and the Mizbeach HaZahav? What do you bring on the Mizbeach HaNechoshes? You bring karbanos, right? And most people would say, what's the purpose of the Mishkan? What's the purpose of the Mikdash? That's where you go to bring karbanos. What is the root of the word karban? Karev, karov, to come close. That's where we come close to Hashem. That's the Mizbeach HaNechoshes. That's the, what we would see as the raison d'etre of the Mikdash. And in fact, when you look at the Psukim right before the Ketores, the Mizbeach HaKetores, at the end of Perek Chof Tes, this is really almost like the closing of the whole section of Mishkan. It bookends, right? It started off in the beginning of Truma, Vasuli Mikdash V'Shachanti B'Socham, and it ends that... Right, v'do'ad t'isham, shamal v'nei Yisrael v'niktash b'chvodi, perek chavtes, psukim, mem gimel, mem dalid, mem hei, mem vavet, shachanti b'soch b'nei Yisrael, v'yisi lohem le'lohim, I'll rest amongst the Jewish people. Right, so that it's really fulfilling its purpose. The Lubavitcher Rebbe says, it fills a purpose, great, but bring you close. But there's still something missing. Close implies close, but still separate. Close, but not connected on the deepest level. He says, what does Ketores mean? Ketores, the Aramaic word of Ketar, the Tes and the Shin are interchangeable. You know what it means in Aramaic Ketar? It means to tie together, like a kesher, like a knot, to be attached, mamish. And the Lubavitcher Rebbe says, you know what the Ketores represents? The Ketores represents the level of being totally connected and being one. That's what it means, daka min adaka, the ketores, all these different spices, and even spices on their own, they don't smell good. They're all ground up so finely, and when the flame is set, it all just becomes one, in a pillar of smoke, right? So the Lubavitcher Rebbe explains, you know, the Mizbeach HaZav is after everything else, because everything else brings you close, and that is the purpose of Mikdash. But you know what? You have to take the next step yourself. And that's why he explains the Mizbeach HaZahav. Where is it? It's inside. It's not outside. You don't see it being brought. You don't see what's going on. It's pnimi. It's on the inside. And that's a beautiful, beautiful idea that our Avodas Hashem brings us closer to Hashem, l'karev. But ultimately, we know that the ultimate purpose is to be together as one. Of course, the Baal HaTanya explains the idea that we are a chelek elokam yimal mamish, that we have to understand who we are in the deepest, deepest place. And that means, really, what the Mizbeach HaZahav, what the Mizbeach HaKetores really represents. So that's why we have to know that, of course, is a notion of atonement, of course, is, and again, we can refine what the Kli Yakar is saying now. Because, of course, the concept of Mizbeach is kapara, atonement, and to sprinkle the blood. But the Mizbeach HaZahav is telling us something even deeper. The Mizbeach HaZahav is telling us what? That we're not even far away that we need to be brought close. We have to know that we're really together. Even the bad-smelling spices is really all together as one. And this is a beautiful hakdama. All the ideas we're saying this week, mamish, go together. It's beautiful, beautiful. Mamish, a crazy medrash, a crazy medrash. We don't like to say medrash, we're crazy. But this is just a wild, wild medrash, which, of course, I owe to the Chidush HaLev, my sefer for this year, Rav Henoch Leibowitz. Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva of Chafetz Chaim. Crazy medrash. Medrash is Parsha Lamches Simen Beis on Pasuk of Perek Chof Tes Pasuk Aleph, page 474, 475. This is after discussing the clothing for the Kohen Gadol and the Kohen Hedyot. V'zeh ha-davar asher ta'aseh lohem l'kadesh osam. And this is what you shall do for them to sanctify them, l'chayin li, to serve me. But it says on the words, "V'zeh adavar asher ta'aseh lahem l'kadesh osam." This is what you shall do to them to sanctify them. And again, Yimamish, this is such a deep idea. This is such a beautiful idea. Like I would say, I put things online. I get nervous what to say, but I would say I think this is a Hasidish idea. but really it's from a very Litvish source, you know. Chafetz Chaim is not Hasidish, but this is Mamash, such a beautiful, deep, I'm not saying, okay, not saying the Litvish ideas are not beautiful. Chas v'shalom, Litvish ideas are beautiful also. But I'm saying, you know, Hasidus speaks to me in a way that many things do not, and this idea is Mamash beautiful. Davar acher, v'zeh davar. This is what the pasuk in Chavakuk means. Halo ata mikedem Adonai Elohai kedoshi lo namus. What does this mean? Aren't you God from before the world, my God, the Holy One? Lo namus, shall not die. So what does this mean? So basically, it says that until Adam Arishon ate from the tree, you would have said that he wouldn't eat and there wouldn't be death. Halo atami kedem Hashem Elokai kedoshi lo namus, that my holy ones won't die. But because Adam bitel tzivucha, he didn't fulfill your command, you brought Misa to afflict your creatures. What is that? Hashem l'mishpat samto, that ultimately you place judgment in this world. Ata gozer v'omer, but then God, you decree and tell us kedoshim to you. And you say in this week's parasha, Zeh adavar asher ta'aseh lohem l'kadish osam, this is what you shall do for them to sanctify them. Ribon ha'olam, ata mevakesh in hei kedoshim, haser mimenu amavis. If you want us to be holy, we shouldn't die. We shouldn't die. As the pasuk says in Chavakuk, halo ata mikedem Hashem elokai kedoshi, v'lo namus, darshaning it, that God, you came before the world, Hashem, my God, Kedoshi, you should say that your holy ones, lo namus, and they shouldn't die. So, Amar lahem, Efshar, Hashem responds to Chavakuk, it's impossible. Why? Hashem l'mishpat samto. That Hashem responds to the Jewish people, Amar lahem, it's impossible because I brought mishpat to the world, I brought justice after Adam ate. I'm sorry, you have to die. What's the implication? The implication is that really Chavakuk's taina is a good taina. That Chavakuk's claim against the Ribono Shel Olam, that there shouldn't be Misa for the Jewish people, right? There shouldn't be Misa, on the back of that one, that there shouldn't be Misa for the Jewish people really makes sense, right? Only because of Adam, there has to be Misa in the world. What does that mean? Because Hashem gave us a mitzvah of Kedoshim to you. And what doesn't make sense is, when was Chavakuk a Navi? Right? When was Chavakuk a Navi? You're talking about towards the end of Bais Rishon. You're talking about one of the last of the prophets. He was talking about the end. The Jewish people towards the end of Bais Rishon were holy. The Jewish people at the end of Bais Rishon were killing people, were committing adultery, were worshiping idols. What does that mean? That Hashem, they're holy. So it doesn't make sense, right? So listen to what Chiddush Leif says. It's such a beautiful idea. He says, when we say that a Jew has Kedusha, we have to understand, Kedusha is not only due to the fact that we learn Torah and we keep mitzvahs, but rather there is inherent Kedusha in the Jew ever since Har Sinai. Why? Because what happened at Har Sinai? At Har Sinai, we made a bruce, we made a covenant with Hashem. At Har Sinai, we accepted upon ourselves the responsibility for 613 mitzvahs. So you know what that means? Ever since from Kabbal the Torah, it means that a Jew always has an inherent Kedusha. And Rav Henoch writes, in today's society with so much Tumah, we have to know that no matter where a Jew goes, there's an innate Kedusha, and no matter what Tumah affects a Jew, there's an innate holiness that a Jew can always be pulled back, that a Jew could ultimately always do tshuva. That's what he's saying, that even the Jews at the end of Churban Bayis, that they were worthy of destroying the Beis HaMikdash. They weren't worthy to keep the Beis HaMikdash going. Ultimately, there is inherent Kedusha. And that's what Chavakuk was tying to the Ribono Shalom. He was saying, Ribono Shalom, how can you do this to your children? Ribono Shalom, Kedoshim to you. You command them to be Kadosh. This week's parasha, Zeh adav asher ta'aseh lahem l'kadesh osam. This is what you should do to them to sanctify them. We all have this role of mamlachas kohanim v'gai kadosh. So why isn't it that we should be totally immune, ultimately, from Misa? And also, taking it further, another level is a beautiful idea. We've discussed this before. What is Tumah? Now, what's Tumah? Tumah is a loss of potential. Tumah is a loss of potential, right? That's why when someone passes away, it's the greatest tumma you can have. That's the avi avos hatumma, is a corpse. The granddaddy of all tumas is a human corpse. Why? Because it's the greatest loss of potential. So you realize what Chavakuk is telling Hashem? Chavakuk is telling Hashem that a Jew should never die once you commanded us to be holy, because that commandment to be holy means that a Jew always has potential. That a Jew never loses potential. The potential is there. Look, that's what Hashem tells an Avi, Ad Yomosa Achakela, until the person's day of death. I wait for him. I wait for her. So what Rav Henoch is saying is such a beautiful idea, such a deep idea, such chizuk for us in our day and age, that no matter where you go, Hashem gave us a commandment to be holy. That means we can always be holy. It means we can always rise up over, or rise above whatever difficult situations we find ourselves. Min ha-meitzer karasika, from the straits I call you out, Hashem. Call to you, Hashem. And this is the famous Ar Chaim HaKadosh, when he discusses that we've mentioned many times, the idea that if the Jews were on the 50th, or if they would have fallen to the 50th level of Tumah, they never would have gotten out of Egypt. They would have been stuck there. But he says, you know, but the Jews, in the end of days, they'll mamish be at the lowest level. They'll be at the Shar Nun. So if the Jews are at the 50th level of Tumah, how do we ever come out? Right? If the Jews would have fallen to the 50th level in Egypt, they wouldn't have gotten out. So if we fall into the 50th level, Rahman al-Tzlan, God protect us, so how are we ever going to get out? So what does our Chaim HaKadosh say? Because the Jews in Egypt didn't have Torah. Once we're given Torah, what does that mean? Once we're given Torah, then Torah can bring us back, no matter if we're even on the 50th level of Tumah. Because there's no such thing as a Jew being too far. There's no such thing as a Jew totally losing potential. And that's what we know this time of year is about. We know that we've discussed the concept of Shovavim, the idea that in a regular year it's 6 weeks, in a leap year it's 8 weeks, and this is the last week of Shovavim Tat, of 8 weeks of intense, intense tshuva. 8 weeks that the Magid told the Beis Yosef that tshuva is accepted now like it's accepted during Maaseres Yemei Tshuva. It's a Zaman Mesugal, it's an Eis Ratzon for tshuva in the world right now, a time of incredible divine favor, that Hashem wants to be close to us, and he opens up the gate of tshuva for us to come close. So now we understand. We understand so beautifully that I understand the parshas of Shemos, the Erebo, B'shach, Yisro, Mishpatim, how it's all about tshuva, how it's all about coming back. But you wonder, Truma Tetzaveh, especially in the leap year, what's Truma Tetzaveh have to do with tshuva? So now we're saying Truma and Tetzaveh have everything to do with tshuva. The idea of the Ketores, the idea of Zeh Adover Asher Tasad Lahem L'Kadish Osam, that really no matter what it is, a Jew never loses that potential, that we can always go back, whatever Tumas, whatever we're covered over with. But what's the key? How do we get to do it? What's the key through which we can come back? So here, it's a famous, famous part, famous idea that we've said many, many times. I saw recently in a sefer published by Yeshiva University, this idea was written up very beautifully by Rabbi David Miller, former mashkiach at YU. He's the head of the Gurus Kolel in Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Miller quotes a famous introduction to Peirush and the Ein Yaakov. The Maharal also quotes it. The idea, what's the most important pasuk in the Torah? What's the most important pasuk in the Torah, right? What's the famous, right? That Ben Zoma says, what's the most important pasuk in the Torah? Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Most important pasuk in the Torah. Ben Nana says, no, it's not that. You know what the most important pasuk in the Torah is? V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha, b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol me'adecha. Right? I'm sorry. That's part of the first. V'ahavta l'recha kamocha is bananas, right? Like Rabbi Akiva, v'ahavta l'recha kamocha, excuse me. Right? So those are two really great ones, right? What's the third pshat? Ben Pazi? Ben Pazi says, you know what the most important pasuk in the Torah is? Esakev sechot haseh v'boker v'esakev sashenit haseh ben harboim. That's the most important pasuk in the Torah. What does that mean? So that means that you should offer up one sheep in the morning, and you offer up another one in the afternoon. That's the most important pasuk in the Torah. And one of the Rabbanim or Rav Ploni gets up and says, you know what the most important, Ben Pazi's right. More important than Shema Yisrael Shem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. More important than Ve'avta Lo Yecha Kamocha is the pasuk in this week's parsha that's found later on also in Parshas Pinchas, right? As a keves echad taseh b'boker, as a keves hasheni taseh b'nabayim. To offer up one sheep in the morning as a carbon tamid and the other sheep in the afternoon as a carbon tamid. That's the most important mitzvah in the Torah. How could that be? Right? So what's the famous vart? So the famous explanation, and this Rabbi Miller expounds upon, because he quotes a beautiful idea from Rav Lichtenstein Zatzal, that we see it's the same pasuk twice. It's a pasuk here, in terms of the completion of the Mishkan, and where else is the pasuk? The pasuk, more famously, where most people know it from, most people don't even know that it's a pasuk in Parshas Tetzaveh, is in Parshas Pinchas. When you find all of the orders of the Karbanos for Shabbos, Rosh Chodesh, for all the Yom Tovim, lanings for all the Yom Tovim, the Maftir lanings for all the holidays come from Pinchas. And here we also see, Esekeves Echot HaSev HaBok, Esekeves HaShenit HaSev Ben Arbayim. So Rav Lichtenstein says, Mamash, the exact pasuk. It's like weird, right? Esekeves Echot HaSev HaBok, Esekeves HaShenit HaSev Ben Arbayim. What's pshat? What's pshat that you have the same pasuk? They have the same pasuk here and the same pasuk. Why? So he says that there are two things that we have to understand. That on the one hand, in Parshas Pinchas, it's part of the regular routine of the karbanos that are offered up. There's a karbanos every day, there are karbanos on Shabbos, there are karbanos on Rosh Chodesh, there are karbanos on Pesach, there are karbanos on Shavuos, on Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkot, Shmini Atzeres, right? There are different karbanos all the time. And it's just one of the commandments of karbanos. But he says at the end of Parshas Tetzaveh, what's it doing? This is the culmination of building a Mishkan. This is the culmination of creating the vehicle to come close to God and bring God's presence into the world. What's it teaching us over here? That if you want to sanctify yourself, you want to be able to rejuvenate your potential, you want to be able to tap into what you have, there has to be a commitment and a consistency. Day in and day out. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad. Ve'avta l'reicha kamocha. These are great psukim. These are psukim that talk about Mesiras Nefesh, Rabbi Akiva at the end of his life. Shema Yisrael. Ve'avta l'reicha kamocha is a klal gadol ba'Torah. It is a great yisod of the Torah. It's a great lesson of the Torah. But the most important pasuk in the Torah is a keves echad taseh v'boker v'se keves hasheni taseh ben arboyim. Because you can live your life for great moments. That's wonderful. And those great moments are very beloved to God. But the true closeness with the Ribbono Shel Olam, where does it come in? Day in and day out. Day in and day out. You have to appreciate the holiness and the greatness of the everyday, of each and every day, what it means to be connected to the Ribbono Shel Olam. The challenge is, of course, the challenge is, the Navi tells us, Mitzvah Sanashim Milamunda, the challenge is not letting the fact that it's done every day become hergel and that it becomes something that we don't connect to and something that isn't meaningful to us. And that's why we have to find all different types of, I won't say tricks, but we have to find all different types of motivational factors to allow us to connect to Torah each and every day, whether it's finding a new idea to try and learn something, find something else inspiring, whether it's to think of specific things before we daven to try and make our tefillah more meaningful. But this is as a keves echad taseh b'boker, as a keves hasheni taseh ben arbayim. This isn't just the daily karban. This is the day in and day out. And that's what's interesting, that the Gemara tells us, how did Churban Habayis happen when the Jews were offering up the karban tamid every day? The city of Jerusalem wouldn't fall. It was only when the Romans figured out that the Jews were smuggling in a sheep, two sheep every day to offer them up, only when they replaced the sheep with pigs and the karban tamid stopped, that's when they were able to destroy Jerusalem. That's why one of the five things that we mourn on Shavuos or B'Tammuz is what? Botel HaTamid, that the karban tamid stopped. Why is that such a big deal? Because what we understand from here is that the karban tamid, the day in and day out, is the foundation of Judaism. It's a foundation. People can say, I have a Jewish heart, and that's good. A Jewish heart's amazing. But there's a certain power in doing something daily. every day in and day out, and struggling for it, and finding meaning in it, and having a commitment towards that, that's something that helps stir the soul. We might think that it makes it boring, and at times it creates a certain challenge, but it means there's a connection. It means that you do it day in and day out. There are wild stories, nisim and flows, of people who accepted to do something on a daily basis. Many stories from Babacher Rebbe. Shlomo Carlebach tells a wild story we're not going to get into now. This is recording, so I don't want to, but wild things that when a person makes a commitment day in and day out, that's really what brings a soul. You think that soul crushing day in and day out, no meaning, it's just becomes boring. But when you do it and you understand the value and you push through and do it day in, there'll be times that you won't enjoy it. Revolvi talks about it in Ali Shar. There'll be times that it's Yimei Sinna, days of hatred that you really. But you know what? By doing it day in, day out, you find tremendous, tremendous Kedusha. You unlock who you really are in the deepest place. So, of course, we understand that by just a little bit of the Ketores, understanding again, Sikum, that there are two Mizbechos. There's the Mizbeach HaZahav, there's the Mizbeach HaNechoshes, as the Kliyakar says, two different types of atonement. We have to recognize how a sin affects us externally on the level of our guf, and also on the level of neshama. They're bringing the atonements for both of those. And then to explain the idea from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, why is it put at the end of Tetzaveh? Why isn't it in its rightful place, a section on Mizbeach HaZav in Truma? So we said from Rav Yitzchak Tversky, because it was pre the sin of the golden calf. This is communal atonement. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe explains because the Ketores actually is the highest level. And that's why it's Pnimi, inside. Ultimately, this has to be done by each and every person, for herself, for himself, to create the connection. Not just coming close to the karbanos, but lekater, lekasher, to tie ourselves. And the last thing we said is a strange medrash that Rav Henoch Leibowitz shared with us from the beginning of Perikov Tes Pasakala, v'zeh davar shartasalem lekadesh, that Chavaku Kanavi had a good tie in the Ribono Shel that we shouldn't die. Because you commanded us to be holy, we shouldn't die. And Hashem said, like he was going to, he said, good taina. How could that be? Because we have to understand what we have inside, understand what's waiting to be tapped into. How do you do it? How do you tap into what's inside? As a kevis echot ha-zeh boker, the daily chiseling away. As Rabbi Akiva saw the rock, that what was the hole in the rock made by? What was the indentation? By drip, drip, drip. Day by day by day. That's why Yerushalayim fell only when they stopped the carbon tumid. So we should understand what it is to have a ritzifus, to have a continuity in our service of God, not just in the grand moments, but day in and day out, to be connected to something in a meaningful way, and that'll be connecting us all the time to Kedusha. Yishkoyach. So...